Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue today to take a look at the drama that's unfolding in the Gospels, the readings the church gives us at daily Mass this week. Of course, the whole movement of Lent is the unfolding of Jesus' battle against sin. And one of the places it gets manifested is in his collision with the religious authorities at the time, who themselves were not willing to receive Jesus, really. We're not willing to receive the Messiah as God the Father has presented him to the world in his son Jesus. And that's a sin. It's a grave sin. So they're resisting Jesus. They're resisting the Father's will. They're resisting Jesus' authority and how he reads things like the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath and what the Father's will is. And so yesterday we took up the reading, which I think today is when a good part of chapter 5 from John's Gospel is presented in the reading, where Jesus heals a crippled man in the temple and he tells him to rise up, you know, rise, stand, take up your pallet and walk. And so this man is healed. The religious leaders find out about it and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And they realize this man took up his pallet, which is on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to do any work. And that is considered a work. And so they want to know who it is who healed him. And he said he didn't know. And then he and Jesus intersected again. And Jesus said to him, "See, you are well." This is where we ended yesterday. "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may befall you." It's interesting in this case, in this particular man's life, somehow his being crippled, the condition that he was in was tied to sin in his life. It's not always the case with physical sickness and disease, but in this case, it was. I mean, in the larger picture, the reason humanity gets sick, the reason we die, you know, ultimately the great sickness is death itself, is because sin entered the world. So in a generic way, that's the case. But just because you get physically sick doesn't mean it's the result of your personal sin. It's the result of living in a fallen world, right? But in this case, Jesus knows this man's personal story, and he knows that sin was part of it. And Jesus is concerned. He not only wanted to heal his physical body, he wanted to heal the deeper problem which was at the root of his physical condition, which is sin itself. Jesus is coming to set people free, beginning with the household of Israel, from bondage to sin. And he's going to do that ultimately on the cross, but the drama unfolds. And so the Pharisees, or the religious leaders, the Jews confront him. And they say, and this is why the Jews persecuted Jesus, because he did this on the Sabbath. He did a work on the Sabbath, which he's not supposed to do. He healed this man. And then Jesus answered them, and he said to them, "My Father is working still, and I'm working." So that aggravated them even more, because not only did he justify his working on the Sabbath, doing a work of healing this man, he also made himself equal to God by calling God his Father. And it angered them, and they were enraged. And so you can see, and we'll see as the drama with the Pharisees goes on, it gets really heated in chapter 8 and on. They literally attack Jesus, saying, after they listened to him, and they've watched him, and they've seen him, their discernment about who he is that they said he has a demon. And how blind can you be when the pure, holy Son of God, your discernment about him as a religious leader is that he has a demon? The one who drives out demons, the one who is without sin, the one who's completely free and holy. So the story goes on here, verse 19, chapter 5, John's Gospel. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord." So they're angry that Jesus says he and the Father are one. He says it in another place as well. He makes himself equal to the Father. So Jesus begins to talk about his relationship with the Father, which is profound and beautiful. And the truth about Christ is revealed here in a deeper way, but also the truth about your destiny and who you are in Christ. Because remember, what Jesus is ultimately after is helping each one of us become, making it possible for us to become children of God, to share in what belongs to Jesus, which is his relationship with the Father. St. Peter, he's so thrilled about what he sees and what he's received, he reminds us that we're becoming partakers of the divine nature. Wow, but let's go on. Again, Verse 19, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, the Son does likewise." It's beautiful. Remember, Jesus tells us at other places here in John's Gospel, "My purpose is to do the will of him who sent me." Now, as Jesus is oriented to the Father, so he wants us to be oriented to him as he then leads us to the Father. It's really right for us to say, because Jesus said it to us, we can do nothing apart from him of what matters most in this world. We can't save ourselves. We can't love the way we're called to love without the help of the Lord. And so Jesus identifies himself so perfectly with the Father. We too are called to identify ourselves both as sons, daughters of God, as children of God, but also disciples of Jesus, that we're learning the life of Christ. We're called to walk in his footsteps and to live his life. So we can say, for whatever he does, we do likewise. People wear those wristbands. What would Jesus do? Paul will say, John will say as well, learn how to please the Lord. I'm always, I don't know, it just pains me sometimes to listen to how many human beings just assert themselves and their own reality and their own definition of creation and turning all of God's purposes and designs on their head. And what really pains me is when I see religious leaders getting caught up in that and conforming themselves to the madness and the foolishness of this world that's running from God and suppressing God's rightful rule and reign over his own creation and the beautiful revelation of that creation. People are suppressing it, and by the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil, asserting their own will over and against God's will, whether they realize it or not. That's what's happening. The only way to freedom is to say this: I do whatever he tells me to do. I know there's only one way to freedom in life. It's to take Jesus' extended hand and let him lead you from darkness to light. That's what Christianity is bringing to the whole world. Verse 20, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing." So the Father reveals to Jesus his intimate core, his heart, his will, his plan, his economy. And that's what Jesus is doing with you and with me. The question is, do we want it? Are we open to it? Are we open to all of Jesus' word, all of Jesus' revelation to us? And he says, "And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel." He'll raise Lazarus from the dead. He himself will rise from the dead. Verse 21, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, so also the Son gives life to whom he will." That is a powerful verse that's worth meditating on. The Father, the creator of all things, God himself, possesses in himself divine life. He's the origin and source of all that is. And Jesus, before the religious leaders, say also, "The Son gives life to whom he will, just as the Father gives life to whom he will. The Son will give supernatural life to whomever he will." I mean, Jesus is just rocking their world right now. He's saying he's a source, just as the Father is a source. He said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life." He's not just saying God the Father is the life. He's saying, "I am the life, because I'm in the Father. And the Father and I are one." Friend, what we need is life. We need eternal life. We need life beyond death. We need a life that will never die. Only Jesus Christ can give that life. It doesn't come automatically to me because of the good deeds I do. I don't create it. It doesn't happen by virtue of my willing it. Eternal life is not a human achievement. It's God's gift. We can't even have access to eternal life apart from Jesus Christ, who now the head of a new race of people, he possesses what this new race needs. Eternal life, a share in God's life. Verse 22, the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. He didn't give it to anybody else. He didn't give it to any president or premier or billionaire or religious leader. He didn't give it to Moses or Muhammad or anybody else. The judgment over the destiny of all things is in the hands of Jesus Christ. That's why he's Lord. That's what it means that he's the Lord. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. He possesses it. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's even the devil will bend his knee. And every opponent of God, every enemy of God, as well as all who love him, everyone will acknowledge the authority of Jesus Christ. No more denying it. No more hiding from it. No more opposition to it. Everyone will bow and say, he is the Lord. Those who bow, who bend the knee in faith, believing and loving Jesus, will rejoice. The bending of the knee won't be a humiliation. It won't be, you know, a painful thing to do. We're going to do it from the core of our being and shout it out. Yes, he's the Lord. All power, he's the Savior. He's the hero of the great story. He's the one who saves us and alone can save us. And we gladly say, he's my Savior. He has saved me. And I acknowledge him as my Lord. But those who die, his enemy, Scripture said, will beat their chests. Oh my God, what have I done? In horror and terror, they will see what their free choice has led them to. To become the enemy of the Holy One and to choose condemnation, eternal separation from God. Jesus has power to give life, and Jesus has power to judge. The Father wants the Son to be honored by everyone, Jesus basically says. He says, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And he's saying it right to the religious leaders who are saying, what's your deal? You're from Nazareth. You're a nobody. What do you mean we're going to honor you? We are the proprietors of the religious history of this great people. You honor us. We don't honor you. And there standing before them is the Son of God. Verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me. Now, he who hears the words of Jesus and believes in God who sent Jesus, this one has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. There is the center of Christianity, friends. It's belief in the Father and the Son and all that the Son teaches and receiving Jesus. And in receiving Jesus, we receive eternal life, we escape judgment, and we pass literally from death to life. That's what Lent wants to help us lay hold of. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.